Go to St. John, the 10th chapter, and go to Psalms 23. Let's go. Let's get this. There is something that God was trying to talk about in the 10th chapter of St. John. He was dealing with the Good Shepherd. And it was amazing to me when he dealt with the Good Shepherd. He was dealing with more than just the shepherd, to being a shepherd, and the sheep being the sheep. He was dealing with the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And he just used the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep as a relationship that he wants to get us to understand, the relationship that he's trying to build between us as we are his people and he is our father. And one of the great things about it is the shepherd to the sheep relationship. It was not only spoke about there; it was spoke about also in Psalms. And I really want to talk about it a little bit tonight. This is almost like my pit stop from one to the another, dealing because I'm going into some other stuff next month. But go to the Psalms one, Psalms 23 for me. Everybody should know it. Probably most of y'all can quote it, but. Watch this when it comes to dealing with where we've been at with everything we was dealing with. I think it's very good for us to read this tonight. Go, Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Hold on. After all we done learned over the last couple of months in Bible study and Sunday morning service, watch what this first opening line in the scripture says. It says, seriously, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? How much do we deal with the wanting and needing of God? If you're truly in a relationship between you and God, you'll stop your little baby acting, wanting moves that you want. And this is one of the reasons, let's get to back where it is it tickled me because me and Lady Marguerite was talking, and we was like, well, if I didn't really want to tell y'all I got anything, not y'all, because all of y'all cool to me. It's just some of the other folks. That you tell them that we getting some things free and the church would like to take care of something, because then some folks be like, I'm only going into church taking care of. And we got to get away from us thinking that God need to fully take care of all of our wants. When we need to understand this thing is more about a relationship, that the shepherd to the sheep, watch this, the sheep would to tend to the sheep would tend to the shepherd needs, and the shepherd would tend to the sheep needs. Did y'all understand that? How many of y'all knew that? And the shepherd took care of the sheep because he knew that it would bring back a return unto him. What do a sheep have that we use it every day? There you go. So the sheep supply two things for the shepherd. Well, some of them supply three. Y'all know what that are? First and foremost, it was the food. How many of y'all know they supplied milk? And what? Clothing. So could a shepherd truly live and survive off a sheep? Yeah. So if God is a shepherd, he's trying to tell us that we have everything that he needs within us. But the problem is that it costs us something being a sheep to give God what he wants. Because if we give him our clothing off of our back, being the hair off of our back, then we got to go a season of barrenness. And so that's a season of dealing with the elements that's around us, whether it be hot or cold. The hair on a sheep protects them from the heat just as well as it protects them from the cold. It protects them from sunburn just as well as protecting them when the wind blowing on them. So now, in order to give the shepherd what he wants to protect him, it's going to cost us something being a sheep, correct? And the same thing with milk, because the milk is made to give it to the kids. But if we can share with the shepherd and give him some, and our kids will still have some, right? And the most, probably the awesome one, is when one of us got to die that he may live. So our causes got to die so his cause can what? Live. And that's how we feed him. And when we choose to die off of our will and to cause his will to live. And so what he said is, in order for us to have a relationship, we have to start wanting one to another. And that's what I think I really want this church to get more into, is to stop wanting, stop wanting, stop wanting, stop wanting, and to start giving. Because when we get to the attitude of not wanting, watch what he says inside these scripture, that I'll do with you and do for you when you stop wanting me to do, and you realize the relationship that we have as father to son, or to shepherd to sheep. Watch what he says. Come on.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Look, I love this. When we want not to go down to the pastures where it's green and good spots, he maketh me go down there. In other words, I'll force you to go to the place where it's better for you to be at. That's incredible. That's, now we got dealing with a nice covenant relationship, ain't we? He leads me beside a still water. He protects me and covers me and calls everything in my life to become still. It's nothing like sitting beside a river and watch the water just come down nice. I'm not talking about rappers, because rappers can scare you. I'm talking about just a nice flowing river. I remember a long time ago when Daddy used to take us sucker fishing. And it used to be cold, and we'd go out there and sucker fish by the river. And it was just nice to sit down there and listen to him tell all them little crazy stories with the guys, and you sit down and watch them sucker fish. It was a nice thing to go do all the time. It's something about the water that caused you to be what? Calm. Come on, read on, because I don't want to spend too much time on the 23rd Psalm. Read on.
He restoreth my soul.
When I get off and when I get messed up, he'll restore me. Let's go.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness.
He continue on to push me to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Keep on.
Yea, though I walk through the valley.
Yes, I'll walk. I love this part. Yes, I'll walk through the valley. Go ahead.
Of the shadow of death.
Of shadows of death.
I will fear no evil.
But I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me.
Why am I going to fear or worry about anything? Because what? He's going to be with me. Because we're in a relationship. I'm not asking him for nothing. And when I stop asking God for everything, God's going to promise that all of my needs are what? Fully taken care of. Everything that he's speaking about here in the first four verses is all about needs. Talking about peace. We're talking about a prosperous place. We're talking about my soul being restored when I messed up. We're talking about righteousness being in our life constant. We're talking about when we walk through the valley of shadow of death, that we have peace and no evil can come upon us. Come on.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And that's awesome. That's a beautiful song. Now let's go to the 10th chapter of St. John's, where I want to get to him being a good shepherd. Go ahead.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out.
The whole thing about the sheep and the shepherd is based on the voice of God. That's what I want to get into. Our problem and reason why we don't have comfortability in the relationship with the shepherd is because we do not know the shepherd's voice. Y'all understand it? That's why we're always asking for crazy things, because our relationship with the shepherd is lacking, because we really don't trust that the shepherd's going to do what he tells us to do, because we really don't know the voice of the shepherd. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is knowing his voice. My relationship cannot be established with the shepherd until I know his voice. And that's where the problem lies. I really lay before God. I said the problem lies because we really don't know the voice of God. You know the voice of your pastor. If your pastor said, God said, and you may trust your pastor, but you should not trust the pastors more than you trust God's voice. Okay, read. I want to read a little bit, all the way through. I'm coming back. I want to read this because I want to get down to the 27th verse.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
See, that's why, oh, good God Almighty, we are not following what God says because we do not know his what? We're going to open this up tonight, and I'm trying to get quickly so I can open this up tonight. Go ahead.
And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. for they know not the voice of strangers.
See? So we only going to listen to one or the other. So you're either listening to the voice of the shepherd that loves to take care of you and got everything that you need, or you're going to be stuck up and stuck in to listen to the voice of a stranger. I always tell people there are two blessings. There's the counterfeit blessing and the true blessing. Let's go down to the 22nd verse.
And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not.
That's where I want to get to. He done talk to us, but we don't believe. Why? Come on.
The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep.
That's a scary thing. If you don't believe him, you don't know his voice. He is now classifying you as not being his sheep. So everything that is promised to us in Psalms 23 cannot come unto us because we don't know his voice. So if you're living, let's go back to Psalms 23 for me. Please. Are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. Y'all catching on to what I'm trying to get to y'all to understand? Well, don't worry. I'm going to use the time. So if you're not in green pastures, I'm not saying he leads you in the green pastures. He maketh me go. So evidently, he can't even make you because you don't know. Come on, let's go. I'm trying to drag you. You being too stubborn here. If you ain't in green pastures or you're not living a prosperous life, your daily provision is not being supplied inside your life, there's a problem. If you don't have peace, there's a problem. If you're not getting forgiveness for your sins, there's a problem. If you can't walk in righteousness, there's a problem. If you're scared every time you go into trials and tribulation, there's a problem. If you're running from his correction, there's a problem. If you ain't even getting victory in front of your enemies, there's a problem. And if you're not stronger tomorrow than you was yesterday, there's a problem. And what is the problem? We don't know God's voice. It's not that you don't hear it. You can't distinguish that it's God and not a stranger, not the devil. So we're going to talk about tonight how to know his voice. Finishes up.
As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
So what he's trying to tell me, if you know his voice, nobody can what? So is that there isn't even any doubt at all. I know his voice. What you mean? A false prophet can't even come in and tell you something. There's three distinguished ways that God likes to talk to us. Can anybody guess? Or anybody want to guess? Through his word. We're gonna be very simplex. Through his word. Through people. And with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Do y'all want to know dream and visions is not his original intent for him to talk to you? A lot of y'all, the reason why your dreams and vision are so scary, he's trying to get your attention so he can talk to you. I want to deal with it at another level, and that's just him plain old talking to you. Let me ask y'all. And I want everybody to be 100% honest with me, because if you're not honest, I can't go on. Do you or can you firmly say you know the voice of the Lord? Thank you. Appreciate those that was honest about that. So what we're going to talk about, three different ways how God uses and talks to you. Okay? Go to Psalms 119, 105.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
That's what I want you to say. Okay. In other words, the word of God is used to light the pathway that you are going or he wants you to go. Give me a word for light. Give me a better word for light. What do light do? Illuminates. It shows every pitfall. It shows every area where obstacles are, correct? If I would tell somebody to turn these lights off right now, probably half of y'all put one hand on the pocket while the wallet is because it'd be so dark because you become afraid somebody's going to take it. The other one going to bust up like this, and if I go, somebody go boo, they're going to jump because they can't see what's around them. Are y'all with me? Contrary to what you may want to say, we all get a little bit scared in one shape or form inside the dark. And it's not that you're afraid because of some boogeyman come to get you, but you become timid and because you don't know what, where you going. And when God is not speaking to you through the word of God, you don't know where you're going. That's causing you to become timid or afraid of the next move. But he said that the word of God is a light to your path or a light to your walkway or a light to your future or a light to your day. So if you need anything or any direction, you're supposed to be able to find it in the word of God. So what it takes is when you ask questions, pick up the Bible. Well, I don't know where to turn to. You know what I learned? Just pick it up. Start reading. I've learned that. Now, let me make sure because I'm not putting you in no fantasy world. You're not going to get this. You pick the Bible up, open it up. Ooh, John 6. After these things, Jesus went over to Galilee. Ooh, that's my word. It don't work like that. Because he's going to see if you want to stay in it. If you got a spirit on you of just trying to use it to get to know, or you're going to persevere through an obstacle first. I always learned that just pick up the Bible and start reading. I never forget this time that, I don't know if it'll work with one of them, so it's like a combination. I was asking God for directions about something, and I had this tape of a sermon, and just happened, I never seen it, didn't remember having it, but I had this and I found it. And I was working out with Dad, I'll never forget, inside the woods, we was cutting down trees, and I run in a saw, and I put the tape in, and everything that I was asking God was in that tape. I had that tape for a while, had to have it, didn't listen to it. And all of a sudden, I picked it up, and the word became light to my situation. That's why it's very important for you to get tapes sometime. It's not always the time for you to listen to it now. You may be what God wants you to listen to later. And that's why you need to start understanding the word for yourself. Whenever I preach or teach anything, you should go back and do a study on it for yourself. And have questions and come back and so we can get clarity. The problem with a lot of people when it comes to the word of God, we do not want to take time to read the word of God because we're afraid to read the word of God or we don't know how to read the word of God. Let me explain this. I say this all the time to everybody. And I even said it to a man today. He said, I got this thing. I'm going to read the Bible in 90 days. I said, good. I said, I've been inside church for 20 years. I ain't read the Bible all the way through yet. I have never read the Bible all the way through. I have never read every inch of this Bible. I have never read every book in the Bible. 20 years. I read what God sends me to read. I go to where it relates to where I'm at. I read things that God say, and I see something now for my situation, I'll stop in a heartbeat. I study more than I read. Now, I guarantee you that which I have read, I know. If you look at this Bible, 66 book, and try to accomplish and think it's your victory to accomplish this book in a certain time frame, you're going to miss the point of it. It's a light reading manifest that you can read every once in a while to grab hold of what you need. So just say if you want to take one book, I tell them, so all new converts, read the gospel first and then Acts. Then you want to study all the epistles or the writings in the New Testament. Then you can go back and catch Genesis if you want to see some great stories and read the laws of Moses, especially Genesis and Exodus. You will get a lot of good law in that. So you can read the Bible in that manner. The books of Psalms and Solomon's and Proverbs are more poetry and psalms, and they're hard to understand. Those that feeds your spirit and cause you to get rejuvenated, they are not stories. Then the major and the minor prophets just speaks about their times. So it's a kind of unique way you need to read it. You don't need to try to start and go. I recommend to everybody, if you want to read the Bible, read the gospel. Now, there is another Bible that I recommend for everybody, the first-time readers, to read. You can get what you call a chronological Bible, which is they put everything not in the format that it is now, but it goes in chronological order. And then you'll read, like in the gospel, when you read three of the stories, they'll put all the stories together so you can see how each story has a little different view of that same story. Now, what I try to tell everybody, please do not get a King James Bible and try to read if you want to read it. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. Forget the dows and the d's and the maketh and the... Forget all of the old English. Go grab some of these great translations. My favorite to tell you to get is the New Living Translation. It's one of the easiest reading Bibles that is out there. If you want to stay more into the Bible format, get an NIV. It stays close to the King James, but it takes all the D's and the dows and the maketh and the bad English and turns them into good English for you. I have a tendency, Lady Marguerite has, she got a King James on the Bible, but she have her phone on all service looking at the looking at the New Living. So just let y'all know that. She's trying to make sure I'm teaching right. So, but it doesn't matter because you have to know the word for yourself. If he speaks to you through the word and you don't know the word, it's like you being deaf and mute and you're not listening to what he's telling you. So he's going to get frustrated in talking to you, and then you can't understand his voice. You hear me? You got to put away certain times to read. How many of y'all, hold on, I'm going to get y'all now. How many of y'all read Harlequin romances or used to read Harlequin romance before you became saved? There you go. Yeah. Y'all wear a book out in the night, wouldn't you? Then there's no excuse for you. I hate to read. I can't stand reading. Never did. I never liked to read. Never. So it just take a little bit of the time. But when you read, know what you're reading. And that's what happened. Next thing you need to do. And I'm going to tell you this. Don't go by this. It's ridiculous to go by a strong concordance. Don't you dare. There is an online service of a strong concordance that I use now. I don't even use my strong concordance in paperback no more. They have this thing that says word and phrases. If you wonder or you know you read something, I read something about this. Go online, Google Strong's Concordance, and it'll come up. You hit it, and you punch in and say words or phrases, punch in what you say, and guess what it does? It'll take you to scriptures that show, and then you can go back and read them scriptures again to get clarity for your situation. There's no excuse for you not hearing God through the Word of God. None. Amen? Second one, let's go to Matthew 7:15. The problem with God's talking to people is simply this. Matthew 7:15.
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
That's it. That's all I want you to do. So dealing with the sheep, he told us to do what? Beware of what? But that's not what I want y'all to understand, because false prophet wearing? So did you know that it was a wool? No. The only way that you can tell a false prophet when you look at his mouth, a sheep mouth is different than a. So if it looks like it, we have to judge what's coming out of it, correct? So now going back to listening to people, everything that a person tells you have to be confirmed by the what? So if God's going to use a person to speak to you, it should be confirmed by the word of God. Now, let me give you this. Usually, and the boys tell me all the time on Thursday night Bible study, Pastor, I know you the prophet. I say, why? Because every time we go wondering about something, we had something, God send you in here and tell you about it. He said, we really want to know where this scripture was. We was wondering where this is. We was wondering about this, that, and that. It's usually what you're dealing with, and God had already spoke to you, and now God sent a person in to confirm it. That's a real good prophet. With something of your situation that you may have got 75% of it, and God sent somebody in to finish it up. And but you still have to judge the 25% by the what? Word of God. Third one, and we about finished. Go John 16:13.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
That's it. The Spirit of the Lord usually speaks for your future, not for right now. You get me? The Word of God is for your right now. The people he comes to tell you the full story right now into your future. The Holy Spirit usually speaks only to your what? Future. Isn't that something? That's why a lot of y'all are afraid of the future, because you have not the Holy Ghost to lead you and guide you with the words that tells you where to go. Now, most of y'all dreams that you have is still falls beneath the guideline of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you at night about your future. Now, very simple. Let's talk for the last 5-7 minutes until we get finished. And I need feedback on this. I told you three ways that God likes to speak to you. Tell me, or do you feel, or are you questioning whether it is God or not God? Or I wanted you to interact with me about your unsureness of whether it's God's talking to you or not. Or, Pastor, how am I supposed to know God's voice? Y'all with me? Because that's a big question. Any of y'all don't think that way? Well, okay, tell me. Since net you standing and you want to interact first? Okay, listen, I don't need you to tell me about the dirt that you're doing, but I need you to go in a little bit more detail, because I'm going to teach you how to do. So give me a situation. Let's just say hypothetically. Hold on. Let's say hypothetically speaking that Muffin came to you and she told you this scenario about what she did, and you wanted to help her understand the voice of God. So let's throw it on Muffin. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Keep on. Okay. Can somebody answer that? Can somebody answer that? What it happens is that's God. He's speaking within you through the spiritual realm to tell you to, and the way you said it was pretty simple, don't do that. Now, where you have to be careful was, and this is where we all mess up, what is he telling you don't do that about? this is where we lose is what God says, and we have to be sure, because God is not a vague God. Now, where most of us mess up is because we don't tell what was in our mind when he was telling us, don't do that. Because there, what he was trying to tell you is not really, when he comes here and you in the mind frame that you are, he going to say this, and this is in the mind frame that it is, and we still married, I'm going to justify this cause, and it's going to ruin me, it's going to mess me up where I'm going, and I'm going to be right back at square one, so don't do that. He didn't tell you not to allow the baby to see the daddy. He didn't tell you that you couldn't meet him in a neutral location with the daughter. He didn't tell you that the kid couldn't be the daddy father and the relationship couldn't be strong. He was speaking more along the line of what you was enduring internally. And that's what you have to be careful when God speaks to you. Y'all got me. A lot of us try to be too deep and profound. Oh, he's a devil. And God, no. God's trying to protect you because he knows what the spirit, when he speaks like that, your future. So I have to lead you and guide you through this next 2 hours. And the best way for me to lead you and guide you the next 2 hours, tell you, no, Nat, don't let him in this house because you're not in the shape to get to 2 hours right now. Y'all with me? What I love is the way she said it. He wasn't overpowering. He didn't come inside a rushing mighty wind as we want him to. He didn't force it when Nat let the said open door that she couldn't unlock the door. He speaks to you in a still, smooth voice that's on the interior part of your being, your spiritual being, and it whispers up inside into your mind, and it calls you to bring truth of the situation. But most of us have a tendency to ignore that what he's trying to say, and he can't take it when you ignore his voice. Got me. Give me another one. I'm glad Nat was honest. That's what I'm saying. I ain't fooling with Pastor tonight. Come on. Give me some question about how you want to know about him or people that have said things to you underneath the umbrella of false prophet. Go ahead, sir. Yes, you do. That's the answer. That's the answer.
No, but that was a long time ago.
I know. What I told y'all about the plan of God, he usually put this plan together that is foolish. Did I tell you on Sunday? Of a provisional plan for you to be blessed by God. He usually put this crazy, foolish plan together. And it's just to see if you want to obey his voice or not and be obedient. And sometimes it irritates you because it happens at times when you don't want to be bothered. Now, what God has a tendency to do, and I'm going to go back to what you said. This is not what you, because you did bring a good point. We ask questions to God. Now, let me tell you this. When we ask God a question, God has a tendency to answer it in his time. And it's for your protection. Because you really cannot handle the truth or the full answer. He usually gives it to us how we can handle it piece by piece. But when we keep asking him, it's usually because we want him to answer differently than what he has already answered us. And he won't change his mind. So then he have a tendency not to answer no more. Listen, I'm going to go back to it. It usually two methods I always tell people how I hear God's voice. It starts here. And it winds up here. I never hear him here, per se. but I do. You'll see when I really hear God, and I always notice, all of us get this little habit. I'll either do like this, or I'll tug on something on my left side. I have noticed that with me when I'm really listening to God. God is the God that's unique. And what a lot of people don't understand about me at the altar call, why some of y'all think I'm abrupt and nasty, God will be talking to me, and y'all wants me to do something contrary to God. That's a test for me most of the time. 2 weeks ago, I requested that nobody come through that door, and Big Daddy being a love bug that he is, letting kids through, which he didn't understand. And I don't want to get on nobody, but that's him. But the problem is I didn't have a problem with him. I had a problem with the person that got up when I said it and continued in the back and dragged him out of the back up here when I closed the altar. He didn't know they was coming to the altar. He thought they was coming here. But that's when you get people who don't hear God. The problem we having is if God shut it down and I'm disobedient, everybody at this altar is now won't receive the blessing. Because God do not work in what? Disobedience. And he does things crazy sometimes. So then I got to ask and plead for him, please allow it, because we don't want to offend folks. And it becomes, you have to respect God's voice and respect what he's saying. Even if you don't accept it, say, okay, Lord. If you ain't sure, question him. Do not move until you know for sure that's what he says. Test him, try him. You want to know how I first started hearing God's voice? I used to write down things and memorize things. And if it came to pass, I said, Lord, you showed me that. I used to make so many mistakes, but it was cool. Because I would try his voice. I wanted to see if that was him or not him. The voice of God comes just like the voice of, how many of y'all have ever heard your kids scream and yell or turn? You ever heard Aunt Janie, Mama Janie yelling in the other room? Now, let me ask you another question. I'm going to ask you. So, you ever was ready to do something and you heard her screaming and she wasn't there? No, seriously. Or you heard this voice of her trying to tell you when you're not there and it's just like she's standing there? That's the voice of God, how he speaks. It's not words. And that's the best way I can tell people. It's just like somebody that you, like my mom, you say, I say, oh, mama going to tell me, mama, I know mama. Do. And it was like, you can actually hear them talking, and they wasn't there because you got so convicted. You know, I love the way Terrence didn't answer that question, did y'all? That was a good move. See, Terrence said, Pastor, you ain't give me. I've been married too long, and I'm too wise. Yeah, I understand what I'm saying. That's the best way I can tell you. Because all of y'all done heard that when you was about ready to do. But it's not about doing everything bad. It's the only time you hear. Even when you're doing something or you want direction, it's the same thing that you hear. And it usually causes an inward peace or joy to come. I tell everybody, if you relax yourself and you'll start speaking it before you realize, oh, did I just say that? Oh, that must have been God then. Now, the difference between Satan's voice, when you get sensitive, I always tell them, I always feel this tightness or this cringy or this uneasy feeling about anything. Whenever you have an uneasy feeling about anything internally, you do not go, because that's not God. God would never leave you uneasy about anything. Y'all hear me? God's voice will comfort, edify, and exhort you one way or the other. And if you're uneasy, even if it is God, the uneasiness, he wants you not to move yet. So either way, the uneasiness is okay, whether it is God or not God. Are you with me? You need to question God. He don't mind. Lord, I think that's your voice, but I'm not 100% sure. And because I'm not 100% sure, you have to send somebody or something in, or allow me to say it in the word so I'll know. I told God one time when I first came to church, I said, Lord, you ain't never tell me to pay tithes yet. I ain't paying tithes until you tell me to pay tithes. Straightforward. So I was sitting there studying one day, and I pulled up the Bible, and I seen a tithe envelope, and then I went to Malachi, and he said, and I read Malachi. I said, oh, Lord, I reckon you telling me that you pay tithes. And that's why I'm such a firm tithe payer, because when I grew up, some folks say you didn't have to pay tithes. Some say you pay it on your gross. Some say you pay it on your net. And it was confusing to me, and I didn't know what to do. So I said, Lord, I ain't moving until you tell me to move. He showed me. He showed me. And when he starts speaking to me, the way me and him have it set up, that's the way I do it. That's the way I do it. Everybody do it the way you want to do. You know, I know some folks that pays it on their net income, and they pay it on their tax refunds. I know some folks pay it on their gross, and they just don't pay on the taxes because taxes is a part of what they already paid. I know two different ways of people. Some people pay just the 10%. I know some people, like me, always pay beyond 10%. Because I believe in the New Testament being. So y'all know why I said it about the tithes? But guess what we're going to talk about on Sunday. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bless you, we thank you, we love you for all you said and done. We ask you to continue to watch over, lead us, and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, Lord.